I told you the story, and I'll tell it again, as I've told it 455 times. Driving down the road on the way to the golf course, feeling. And had $10,000 in the bank. Called the bank to get my balance. It was zero. I forgot that I'd had a loan with the bank. For some strange reason, they thought they had right to take the money. I've never figured that one out. I was instantly faced with the challenge. Turn the car around, go home, climb under the covers, and hope to wake up in next week and forget all about it. Or continue on my course. I continued on my course and I started worshiping because I had a choice to make. Am I going to worship God? Am I going to rejoice in this trial? Or am I going to get down at the mouth and say, oh me, oh my life is ruined, at least temporarily. Things are not going to work out for me. I'm pitiful. No, I just kept on driving, kept on worshiping. By the time I got to the golf course, I literally fell out of the car. I was laughing so hard and rejoicing, I could not contain it. I mean, I was just bubbling over. Went out on the golf course and it was the same thing. I knew I was making a fool of myself. How many know that sometimes when you have faith, you'll make a fool of yourself? Because you refuse to believe what's being told you, what others are saying about you, what the circumstances are trying to dictate to you to become. Get on the golf course, and I'm still just rejoicing. I'm playing with three medical doctors, not known for their Pentecostalism. And I can barely contain myself. Every other word is praise the Lord. I didn't care what kind of golf I played. I didn't care about anything except I was caught up in the presence of the Lord. And on the seventh hole, I hit a shot and it went up out of bounds. I told this recently, but some of you weren't here. Shame on you. I hit the shot and it went up out of bounds. And so when you hit one out of bounds, you have to hit another shot. You'll be laying three instead of one. If some of you don't know about golf, you should know. Really research more. And scripture says, thou shalt know about golf. Okay. I've got a book called Golf in the Kingdom. I really believe that book. I believe the kingdom will be made up of beautiful 18-hole golf courses. And I'll be swinging perfectly 320-yard drives right down the middle. No, I was joking. That'd be boring after a while, wouldn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah. The Lord had to put a sand trap or two out there just to make it interesting. So I hit this shot out of bounds, and I'm with this doctor. His name was Dr. Will, and he happened to be a proctologist. Anyway, he's looking at me. He said, why are you so happy? You just hit a ball out of bounds. I said, I can't help it. I'm just so caught up in the Lord today. I'm just rejoicing in God. So we stopped there, got water. He went to the restroom in the little house there, and we drove down. We're parked in the middle of the fairway by my second ball. And while we're sitting there, I'm just still just, ha. And all of a sudden, here comes my first ball. After about 5 minutes, it rolls down right to my feet. They still call it the miracle at the seventh hole. And so I just started rejoicing. The next few days, a man called me and said, can I come see you, me and my wife? And I said, sure. We're always, if you're going to buy me a meal. I mean, anyone can come see me if you bring your checkbook and buy me a meal. So they came to see me out of town. They flew in. We're eating out in Fredericksburg, and they're in the conversation. They said, we don't know your circumstance. We don't know what's going on, but we sense something in the spirit. And they gave me a folded check, and I opened it up, and it was for $10,000. crocodile tears. You know, how many know that'll make you cry? How many would cry right now if someone gave you a check for $10,000, right? But it means so much because it gave a principle that if I predetermine that I'm going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to believe God no matter what, the Lord will provide. The Lord will come through. Now, what would have happened if I had the opposite reaction? What if all of a sudden I became a complainer? What if I just began to moan and groan and use that word I shouldn't use in church? And what if I just begin to do that? Would those people have been spoken to by God and they flew 2,000 miles to come see me and give me a check for $10,000? No. Because when you set the basis of faith in your heart, you release the abundance of God back to you. Try it next time. Try it when you're going through something next time. God will meet your need at that point of rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Okay. So we're predetermined to love. Amen. How many are predetermined? A little more predetermined than you were.
That's right.
Predetermined to worship. Yes. You automatically respond to that which is in your heart. And if you find something else coming out of you except this, and that's when you say, okay, wait a minute, I got to change this. I'm not going to let this come out. I'm going to let this come out. Because I want the fruitfulness of God to be manifested forth out of me. Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. See, the key in this is that they had love for all the saints. Did you know that God, the foundation of the church has to be the foundation of love? Because love provides a place that God can inhabit and perform what he wants to do in the midst of us. Look at verse 8 first. Who has declared to us your love in the Spirit. And then you look in chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and obtaining to all riches of the assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of the Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. You see, they believed to be one. And you're going to be as one as you decide to be. How many have ever been tested on that in a marriage? Yeah. Marriage is not always easy. And the only way you create marriage the way that God wants it to become is that you predetermine that I'm going to be one with that person. No matter how bad they offend me, no matter how bad they don't do what I want them to do, I'm still going to be one with them. I'm committed to that oneness. The same thing with Jesus towards us. He said, I'm with you. I love you. I'm one with you. I'll always have your back no matter what you go through. The Lord never leaves you, nor will he ever forsake you. That's the same spirit that we have in the book of Colossians, that we're knit together in love, obtaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, verse 2, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Amen. So this, obtaining this divine love, it only happens, this knit together, because we allow ourselves to be drawn to our brother and sister, and we allow ourselves to be totally immersed into the body of Christ. That means that we come to this and hold nothing back. Some people will say the argument, well, I'm just not a demonstrative person. I'm just not a person that likes to engage with other people. Well, get over it. Because it's not whether you can choose and say, well, I can't do this because I'm shy. No, you determine to do his will, not yours. I can't do this because I just have certain standards and I know these people don't have the standard. No, you have to get over that. You have to say, I'm willing to immerse myself into the body of Christ. But some people say, well, I'll do that, but give me a better looking body than I've got. No, you better take the one you got now. Amen. Hallelujah. Believe me, the grass is not greener on the other side. If you're having challenges in one church or one body, immersing yourself and becoming one with them, what makes you think because you shift your surroundings that it's going to be different the next place you go? It's not going to get better for you. It's only going to get worse because now you've predetermined what you want to do instead of what God wants to do. Amen. That's good stuff, isn't it? So you're going to be one as much one with the body as you decide to be. You say, well, I don't really feel that the people there really love me. Well, ask the question, are you really loving them? I don't feel like the people there really understand me. Well, are you understanding them? Because see, you're going to get out of this what you put into it. What you sow into the church is what the church gives you back in return. If you feel estranged, if you feel cut off, if you feel unappreciated, it's not the fault of the others. It's your own heart that's speaking to you.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we're going to be just as one. We're going to be just as knit together as you allow yourself to be drawn into the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't he?
Yes.
It's all good stuff. Now, when you become a child of God, what happens? You become a new birth person. You're automatically then into a whole new nature. It's called the divine nature of Christ. The problem is you're still living in the flesh. So there's two flows that come out of you potentially. The flow that comes from Adam, which is called the soulish nature, or the flow that comes from the Christ, which is called the spiritual nature. Now, which one do we choose? Christ, don't we? Because we don't want the soulish nature to be manifested. We don't want to become a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We don't want to have an appearance on one hand, but yet manifesting something else. So we have to decide then which heredity, which DNA do we want to partake of?
There you go.
Yeah. Do we want to manifest this soulish DNA that comes through, that we've inherited from our great, 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 I think that's right, Adam. And then all the descendants since him, do we want to inherit that DNA and manifest that DNA? Or do we want to come into the Christ DNA? This one that didn't come to reform the old nature, but came to regenerate it, to bring us into become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, so that we have the manifestation of that nature and the revelation of that nature to the world. That's the thing that we seek. Now, we get to choose which heredity that we manifest by the determination of our will.
Yeah.
Amen? Any given situation that you're faced with, you can manifest a soulish response to it, or you can manifest a divine response to it. It's your choice. No, it's not. I want to be like a robot. I just want to do it anyway because I don't want to have to choose. No, you have to choose which way you want to live. And the book of Colossians speaks about it because it talks about how we have to put off the old man and we have to put on the new man.
Right.
You say, well, I thought that was automatically taken care of when I got saved. It is, and it's not. It's automatic in the sense that it'll work for you if you let it,
right,
but it's not going to be forced upon you to release it. It's only when you comply with it and you put it on that it actually manifests in your life. You have to put on love. You have to put on kindness. You have to put on humility. You have to put on faith. You have to put on all the attributes of Christ in order to keep manifesting them consistently in your life. It's like when you go in and you buy a new pair of boots. When you put the new boots on, is there any room for the old boots anymore? No. You put the new ones on. Don't you like them boots? Aren't those pretty? Look at them. That was a gift to me. And I'm not giving you a hint, by the way. That was a gift. I've owned two pairs of boots, besides the boots that my uncle left me, which are pretty bad, because he's been dead for 40 years. I owned two pairs of boots, and both pairs were given to me because I never would break down and spend enough money to spend on myself to buy a pair of boots. They're expensive. They really are. These cost more than the women's shoes. They're really expensive. But I put on these new boots. I don't have any desire to wear those old boots that are in my closet because these boots fit me so much better. They reveal me so much better. They speak to you so much better because you're sitting out there thinking, well, those are good-looking boots, aren't they? You don't want to see me wear my old, decrepit boots, do you? I will if you want me to. No, you'd rather see me wear the new shiny boots. And see, that's the Christ. Christ wants to be revealed through you. He wants you to put on this new clothing called him so that everyone could admire him. He said he's going to be admired in the saints. Hallelujah. Wow, it's good, isn't it? Woo. So it tells us in the beginning of the third chapter, let's look there. Now let's look down at verse 8. But now you also put off all these things. Everybody sit with me. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Woo. Next time you use one of those expletive deletes, think about this scripture. That's not a representative of Christ. They say at the golf course, used to say, how come you don't cuss? Well, there's a reason. Do I want to cuss? Sure. I want to cuss. If you played golf, you want to cuss. Am I inspired to cuss? Yes. About every other shot, I'm inspired. But do I cuss? No. Why? Because I put it off. Now, it doesn't mean I've ever slipped. Yes. I do tell them this. Don't look at me as so pure thing. Sometimes I'll think it. And the Bible said, if I think it, you're just as guilty of it. Amen. I got to get to the point that I don't even think the cuss word. Put off filthy language. Amen. Put off anger. Put off malice. Well, you don't understand. I have a right to be angry. I've been violated. Well, yeah, you have a right, but is that what you want to choose to put on? Anger? Is that how you want to live your life, in bitterness and anger? How do you want to live your life with a chip on your shoulder? Do you want to live your life cursing people out because they wronged you? Do you want to live your life in the cesspool? No. So put off this blaspheming. Don't put off this lying one to another. Put off the old man and all of his deeds. And now put on the new man, verse 10, who is renewed in what? In knowledge? According to the image of him who created him. Wow. Verse 12, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness. I wished I wasn't preaching to me this morning. I wish this was just for you. Well, why do I do this? Why do I preach to myself? Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Put on bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. Some of you, including me, our tolerance level is very low when it comes to other people's misfortunes. But it says, bear with them. Carry the load with them. Walk with them. Commit to them. For how long? As long as it takes. How long do you forgive? How much do you forgive? 7 times 70. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But of all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Amen. Everybody say, I'm putting on love this morning. Come on, just play like you're getting dressed. Woo. And the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and you are thankful. Everybody say, I'm thankful. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. Wow. Whew. I got to cut this. I got to quit. I should quit. I don't got to quit, right? Unless I determined to quit. And I'm not determined to quit yet. Okay. Some of you are saying, let him be determined, Lord. Let him be determined. Okay. Hallelujah. Woo. Paul said that he was made a minister in verse 25, according to the stewardship, verse chapter 1, of God bestowed on me for behalf, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And really what it means is that he may complete the word of God or make full of the word of God to us. See, what I'm here to do is not to do it because I need it, because it's an occupation, it's a profession, it's some good habit to do. I'm doing it because, like Paul said, I'm laboring till Christ be formed in you, that this bond of perfection takes place within you. For he wants you to be perfect. Everybody say perfect. Perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're perfect. Perfect. Amen. Woo. Did anybody believe that? Okay. But the Bible said we're to be perfect even as he's perfect. See, God said, I want to make known to you in verse 26 and 7 of first chapter, I want to make known to you what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is this: Christ is in you, and he is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. He wills to us to make known everything to us. He wants to reveal the intimacy of his heart to you. He wants to reveal the nature of who he is. So not you just know about God and you know about this God and you read his stories and you read the exploits and all that, but somehow in this preaching of this word, in this assembling of this word into your heart, it literally creates a bond of perfection with you, with him. So that all of a sudden you see and hear and feel the same way he does. You're moved by the same things that he's moved by. You're motivated by the same motivation that he has towards humanity. It transcends you from this human nature to the divine nature that's reserved for the children of God. It's the revealing of the manifestation of the sons of God that literally comes and yanks down the places of futility and estrangement and unites them together to be one with him. This is what God intends for us. That you're a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Lord, help us that we don't fall back to the old nature. But if we do fall into the old nature, which we will sometimes, what do? We don't keep living there. We get out of that place as soon as possible. This isn't where I live. This isn't where I belong. This is not who I am. I'm simply yielding to this old nature and I refuse it again. I yield back to you, Lord. Yes. If any man sin, let him call upon the Lord who's faithful and just to forgive him and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. Yeah. Well, I sinned. Well, so what? Join the crowd. But what you do about it now is the issue.
That's right.
Amen. What you do about tomorrow is the issue. Well, I might as well live there for a while since I've camped out for a day. So let's just rent the house for a month. Forget about it. Don't let yourself stay there when you fall. But immediately it says to if you're raised with Christ in verse 1 of chapter 3, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Amen. That's where we dwell, isn't it? Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo. And this is the way you serve God, is that you love him, that you're born of him. Whatever is born of God, he loves. And then he'll put that love in you. Do you know how much God loves you? Amen. One of the things that I set in my heart while we were gone on the trip was that I prayed and thought about all of you. Some of you, you heard from me. But I wept. I wept over you. I cried. Not because I was disappointed in you, but because I have a tender heart towards you. I wept for you because, not because you're in such bad shape, but because of how he feels about you. Because you are the apple of his eye. So if you're that, then you're the apple of mine. You're the one that he longs for. You're the one that he contends for. You're the one that he believes for. And if that's the case, then that's what you are to me. You're the one that I cry for. You're the one that I believe for. You're the one that I contend for. You're the one that I yearn for. And I'm not saying that lightly, but that's really where my spirit is. And I'm not saying it because I'm such a righteous pastor. Believe me, I got my challenges, but I'm saying it because as I turn into his heart, I feel him. I feel his love towards you. I feel his cry for you, because the great love that he loves us. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there might not be many that walk with me, but boy, the ones that do, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them so much that, because it's not how many. It's never been about how many. It's about how you treat those you have. You have one child or 10 children. My great-grandfather, George, had 15. His first wife died, bless her heart, after 7. So he married again, and she had 8. God help her. It's not, but if you got 1 or you got 15, if you got 10 or you got 100, if you got 100 or if you got 1,000, it's not how many. Do you sheep hear your voice, and do they know it? Do they know you, and do you know them? That's the mark of oneness. Right. Lord, I predetermined in my heart to love your people. Even when I feel unlovable, even when I feel down, even when I feel sad, even when I feel estranged, I refuse to let those feelings interfere with the way you feel through me. Even when I've been disobedient, I refuse, Lord, to let that disobedience interfere with your knowledge and your wisdom. Lord, even when circumstances of my life don't seem to be stacking up the way I would choose, I refuse to be moved from my place of faith because of who you are. Determine. This close on this. Determine that you're going to move in God. Determine that you're going to walk in victory. Yeah. Determine that God's provision has been provided for you by Jesus Christ. Determine that the Lord has laid it all within your grasp to become a child of God in his fullness. Determine that the divine nature is going to come forth from you. Don't pamper your flesh every day and every night and expect anything to change in your life. But put your flesh to death. Crucify it with him so that the Christ may live through you. Amen. Determine today that this day is the best day of your life.
Yes.
And it's going to get better tomorrow.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
determine right. that you're a victorious son or daughter of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Nothing will stand against you. No weapon will prosper that's formed. Amen.
Amen.
And you'll be able to cry out with the saints, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? For I have triumphed in the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.